to the Hike My Feelings virtual campfire number 56. My name is Sydney Williams, and I'm your hostess with the mostest. So we finished up hiking across Michigan last Friday, and we had an incredible evening with our trail support guru, Mr. Terry, on Thursday. So that's why we weren't with you last week, but we're back this week. And I am really excited to chat with Tammy Higgins, who hiked with us across a good chunk of Michigan on our first day of multiple days of rain. But before we jump into the interview with Tammy, a quick update on the Take a Hike Diabetes campaign. If you aren't familiar with Take a Hike Diabetes, this is our initiative for 2021. And moving forward, we'll be doing an annual event to encourage people with diabetes and folks that have been impacted by the disease to take to their local trail and go for a walk. So we started this with a free 30-day program last November for Diabetes Awareness Month, and we rolled that into this year's big campaign. So we have the free 30-day program talks about nutrition. It talks about hiking for physical health as well as mindfulness and some stress reduction techniques, since stress is such a big factor for diabetes prevention and management. And we also have the Take a Hike Diabetes Challenge, which we are hosting with our friends on the Kilter app. And that app just syncs with your favorite fitness tracker. And when you go out and track your hikes, then all of your miles get donated to our big, bold, audacious goal of hiking 1 million miles for diabetes awareness. And we also have the Take a Hike Diabetes Tour. So we hiked 220 miles around Chicago in June. We just finished our 248-mile hike across the state of Michigan on Friday on the Great Lake to Lake Trail and the Iron Bell Trail. And we are not done yet. We have one more urban adventure that we're doing this year, and that's going to be in Washington, D.C. in September. So if you're interested in joining us or learning more, you can go to hikingmyfeelings.org/diabetes. And a quick update on that challenge to hike 1 million miles for diabetes awareness. We are currently sitting at 27,412 miles. So we've got a little bit of a ways to go to get to 1 million. And we have 174 participants signed up. So thank you so much for joining us and for your donations and your support and your miles. It all makes a big difference in getting the word out about how hiking can help manage and prevent diabetes. And we've raised $17,291 so far. So thank you for all your energy. Thank you for your support. Thanks for cheering us on when we were hiking across the state. And without further ado, I'd love to introduce Miss Tammy Higgins. Tammy reached out to me as a result of one of our friends, John, who works with the Michigan Trails and Greenways Alliance. He was telling everybody all about what we're doing. And Tammy started a team called Go Live Co. And she lives in Livingston County. And I'm going to let her introduce herself to tell us a little bit about her, and then we'll jump right into the interview. So hi, Tammy. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm Tammy Higgins. I'm from Michigan. I've grown up here forever. I've lived here my whole life and always have enjoyed hiking and enjoying our great state here. You saw the Lower Peninsula, and I know I've mentioned to you the Upper Peninsula, which has some awesome, great trails and beautiful scenery. And we have beautiful scenery in the lower too, but upper's got some really great waterfalls and stuff like that. So I encourage everybody to get out and try to see the upper part, you know, our upper peninsula of our state and really get some great views.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, it's great. It's healthy. And like you had noted too, like all the trees we have out here. I think everybody who ever comes to Michigan says, there's so many trees.
Well, and I think like especially driving over from the West Coast, like once you get into the, like past Denver in Colorado and the mountains are behind you in your rearview mirror, it is fields and fields and fields of corn and wheat. So to enter into Michigan, and there was still some of that, but man, the trees are abundant. And I think that that's a great place to kind of jump in. And we'll talk a little bit about how, like kind of bring folks in here on our conversation that we were having about how hiking these straightaways, like the Great Lake to Lake Trail, route number one, can be super meditative. But before we get into that, I'd love to hear about your connection to the trail and why you're an advocate for it and your hopes and dreams for getting people out there and increasing usage of the trail.
That trail is in my county, and it's a place where a lot of times that my family will go, and it's a safe place for us to hike and walk. As you know, a little bit with our conversation, my son was in a tragic accident where he was hit by a truck. And that trail was a place we could take him in a wheelchair to walk. And that was great for his mental health and our whole family trauma. And I'm so grateful that those trails are there. And it really opened my eyes up to where that needs to be out there for everybody, everybody. And that's how, when I met with John and we were talking that, yeah, with diabetes, I'm like, yeah, this is like, everybody needs that. And in rural America, because these are kind of like rural towns, there's a lot of, you know, issues with health, and people need to have safe places to walk. Like, our roads aren't that safe to ride a bike or walk. And so my goal and dream would be that all over Michigan, we could connect to those trails and people could, like, even go about their daily business, getting their exercise while they go to the grocery store. And then, hey, we're going to go for a little nature ride too. You know, it would be great. So my dream is that we could have that all over our state and the country.
I love it. And I'm with you too, Tammy. I was telling Barry, I think we found our sweet spot with what Hiking My Feelings is about and what we want to do and how we get people outside. We're currently in New York, in Kingston, just outside of Kingston, New York. And we're staying with a friend that Barry taught how to skydive almost 10 years ago. And we were talking about it last night. And when you start skydiving, like, you always look at the sky a little bit differently. Like, you're kind of like scanning the area to see, like, okay, like, could I jump out here? Are there any obstacles? Like, you see planes differently, you hear planes differently. And since we started doing these hikes on these urban trails, and it's funny, we call them urban trails because it's not like single track through a forest necessarily, but it is rural, to your point. But since we started hiking these trails, these paved, accessible, wonderful trails, I see the whole world differently. Like, we were driving out here and there's a paved trail that goes next to the road that we were taking to come into our friend's place. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if that's part of a trail system. Like, there were like two ladies like power walking on it. And I was really excited to see people using it, but it's one of those things, like, it's just completely shifted the way I see the world and the way I see people operating within their cities. So now, to kind of jump back to your story, your son was in a tragic accident, was hit on the side of the road. So not only is this trail important for being able to take him out on a wheelchair, and it's wheelchair accessible, and your whole family was out there, and that was really good for everybody's mental health and healing from that incident, but also these kinds of trails make those communities connected and able to be able to walk safely, to your point. That was one of the things that kind of blew our minds a little bit, was coming off of some great trail and then doing some road walking on some of these rural roads. Like, there's not a whole lot of cars, but the ones that are there, they're bombing down the road. So
yeah.
What would you like to see in your community specifically? Like, how far are you from the trail? And is it easy to get to for you guys?
No, it would be, if we were to get to the trail, like, say we wanted to ride our bikes or even walk, we would have to walk on a road that is a 55 mile per hour speed limit with the kind of roads you walked here on. It would be dangerous, and it's probably about, I'd say about 8 miles or 7 miles from our house to get to where I met you guys. Okay. So that would be my goal, is to have safe, you know, offshoots, trails to get to that trail. And I think that could be on the road. And I think that gets into the complete streets type things, and then even connecting to our little towns and then even to the big towns. I think people would take advantage of that, because that leads me to, you know, like, the social justice aspect too. Like, there's people who need to be able to get around on what God gave us, our leg, you know?
Right.
Not be in danger of dying trying to be healthy and just relieving stress. It's just a win-win for me, I think, to be able to have trails and complete pathways for people to get around other than by a car.
Yeah, and it's something that we hear a lot about in, like, developed communities, big cities, big towns, where they're talking about introducing more green space and rewilding the space. But then you have the complete total opposite in these rural communities where, to your point, like, I think one of the cool things, like, if I had anything to say about it, I love the Great Lakes Lake Trail Route number one. It goes from South Haven all the way over to Port Huron. And I love the idea of connecting lakes to lakes. And also, I think it would be really cool to have, like, spurs off of the trail where it's like, where, because especially on the first like 30 or so miles of Great Lakes Lake Route number one, you're on the Cal Haven Trail, which is one of the trails that it connects that goes from South Haven to Kalamazoo. And there's so many great like little informational signs from the Michigan History District.
Historical Society, maybe?
The Historical Society. And there's all, and we learned so much about it. It would be so cool if there was like a little arm that actually took you into town instead of just like a trailhead or a sign pointing at something. So I'm with you. And if there's anything I can do to help to make that happen, I want to see it happen. Cause I think Michigan, I don't know, we've traveled a lot and we've hiked a lot. And most of the stuff that we've looked at is like the single track trails that go through like remote wilderness. But I have never been in a linear state park before. And I don't know if that's exclusive to Michigan, but what a cool concept. Like having the Mike Levine River or Lakelands Trail is a state park, but it's like the trail itself and then like some land on either side of the trail. And that's the park. And it's just a big straight line that goes across the state. Have you seen that anywhere else? Or is that a Michigan specific kind of thing?
I mean, I've not seen that anywhere else. It might be just specific to Michigan. I do know the history of that trail, that much of that used to be railroads.
Yeah.
So that's what they turned it into, was the trail, which I think was a great use of the land. So, absolutely. And Mike Levine was pretty instrumental in getting that done.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of all the specific details, but his work with the DNR is what got that going.
Yeah.
So it might be unique to Michigan, but we can't say for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really cool. So I love your connection to the trail. I love what you're advocating for. In the spirit of hiking my feelings and the virtual campfire, we started this podcast last year during COVID, because one of the things that I missed about not being able to do our events all over the country was like, we have no campfire. Like, we don't get to like sit down and reflect and talk. So on that note of hiking and the difference between like backcountry hiking and how that can be meditative and healing, and this kind of hiking where you're on a paved path, it's generally a pretty straight line, no turns. You don't have to worry about where you're putting your feet. I love the way you articulated the difference, and I'd love for you to share that. And then we'll just kind of go from there, because I think that's a really cool conversation to have.
Yeah, I think when I was promoting the UP trails, because there's beautiful scenery, that's to me a lot of distractions, which is great, because we all do need distractions sometimes if we overfocus on maybe our trauma or our problems. But sometimes when you're walking that straight trail and all you're seeing is trees, 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 you are not distracted, as I put it, the grandeur of the scenery. You have to focus on yourself. You have to focus on your feelings and your thoughts. And sometimes I find it meditative because it helps you sort things out. It just kind of adds some clarity. And then you notice small things. And I sometimes think the small things in life are really important and really do help us all through the big things. So, you know, I just find like being on that, on the, you know, just trees everywhere, and it kind of starts to look the same.
Yeah.
You know,
and
you
like not in a bad way. And I think, and I think that was the thing that was so cool to us, is like, we've done monster hikes through Glacier where every turn when you come out of a forest is some vista. And you're right. And I think even to go back to the origin of hiking my feelings, like this started as a mountaintop idea where I realized, I was like, oh, I'm hiking my feelings instead of eating and drinking them. But it came because I got to the top of a mountain, and trail is called, or the mountain's called Stonewall Peak. We got to the top. It promises 360-degree views of San Diego, but it was cloudy that day and it was socked in. Like, we saw nothing. Like, I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. And I think to that point, if it was a bright sunny day, I might not have ever had that moment, because I would have been so distracted by the grandeur, as you're saying. I might not have ever had that moment to like really think about like, why do I feel so good on the top of this mountain when I should be stressed out? And I think we kind of tapped into that on the Great Lake to Lake Trail too, where it's like, man, I mean, the way I was kind of explaining it to our friend here last night was, when we're out in the backcountry and we're doing a really difficult hike, you're present because you're so in your body, because you have to be. Like, you are thinking about where you put your foot. You're thinking about how much pain you're in, right? And then at some point, your brain just kind of turns off and you're just in the zone. And that's where the meditation happens for me on like a difficult outback kind of hike. But with this stuff, the walking a straight line, like somebody was like, I don't know if I could do that all day. I was like, honestly, it was incredible. Like, if you're a person that needs to be stimulated by views and all that stuff, then yeah, it might not be the thing for you. But if that's the kind of, if for anybody that's listening, that's found healing in the backcountry and you're like, oh, I wonder if that's possible for me on a local trail near my home, I'm going to say, I think it is. Cause I mean, hiking across the state, one, a point to point hike like that is so cool to be able to do that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the additional routes completed, connecting the other lakes around Michigan. But man, I mean, like it's the same, it's longer than the John Muir Trail, but obviously not as much elevation gain, but I have never been in such a deep state of meditation and found so much clarity and inspiration and insight as I did hiking across Michigan. And like that, that was the question that I was originally seeking to find when we, cause we planned to do these kind of like, more urban adventures in 2020, because I wanted to know, like, that was the leading question was like, I've done this in the backcountry. Can I find this on a trail in a town? Like, do I have to go all the way to the boonies where I have no service, or can right. I find this here? And that was the original question we were looking to find out. And I tell you what, I'm not going to knock single track in Montana because I love it, but there is room for this kind of hiking as well. So I love that. I just love the way that you put that. And I was like, those are the words I'm looking for. So thank you for that.
Oh yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. I think it's like a mental discipline too. And I think it helps you get strengthen that, you know, and it helps you power through other things in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. And when you're not, yes, I have nothing to add to that. That is exactly it. So as far as like the healing and stuff goes for you, like what has been your experience, hiking on that trail in particular or other trails that you've hiked? Like, do you have any stories of like finding that aha moment or just really like being dropping in and being able to like sort through and kind of like process life that you'd like to share?
You know, I mean, and I don't know if that trail particularly, I mean, again, like I know taking my son there, he is, just to clarify, he is well and walking now. He's not
anymore. So. Fantastic.
Yeah. So and it is kind of nice, like now that we were able to take him there and, you know, he's 18. So like, yeah, but he'll go with mom and dad once in a while, we'll go for the hike. And it is nice to remember that it was there for us then and it's still there for us now. And I think that's kind of how I think about nature, is it's always there and it shows us resiliency and it just keeps, it's there for us. And it's always there to offer healing and to listen. I sometimes think the trees are the companions, you know, where you think they're listening to your thoughts. So yeah. And then you just see, I know like on that trail we went in the fall and I found like this really huge, you're just looking down. Like you said, you don't have to look up. And I'm looking down and I just found this really huge oak leaf. I mean, it was like not just, it was about two of my hands in size.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it would just happen to be an extra large one. And it's like you find cool things looking on the ground, you know, and you're like all happy. And I do have a picture, I'll have to post it, of that big leaf. But yeah, it just reminds me to, you know, to just discover and persist, you know, and keep going on in life. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I have a question. What does hiking my feelings, the phrase or the organization or the idea, what does that mean to you? Like, what does hiking my feelings mean to you?
You know, when I had heard that, like when I heard about you guys and John had mentioned that, I was just like, that's exactly how I was. It was a way to let off the steam or the hurt. To hike, like I'm hiking it away. It was like washing it away, like getting rid of all the pain of everything we've gone through, and then feeling so accomplished, you know, when you have done something, like I feel good, you know. And so that phrase, hike my feelings, I think that's just a wonderful phrase. It's a wonderful thing to give people hope and the resiliency and the persistence to go, I can do anything. If I can do this, like you did that trail, you're like, wow, you can do anything. And when you climb that mountain, it's super pretty. I can do anything. We are strong.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I love it. So I have another question about a magic wand. So I asked this of all of the guests that we have on the show. And if Tammy had a magic wand and you could wave it, and upon waving it, you could instill some level of understanding about something, you could make a change in your community, you could eradicate a harmful behavior that other human beings are perpetrating around the planet. What would that be for you?
Wow, what could I get my community? I think I would, wow. It has to only be one thing.
Oh no. Give me a list.
He could give you a list, because I probably could come up with a list. Well, obviously the trails, the safety, you know, like having complete streets, having places when I say the 12-year-old on their bike wants to go to town, if it's safe enough for them, it's safe enough for the hiker, the walker, the mom with the stroller, and the people who just want to get out and exercise. I would love to have a magic wand and just have that instantly appear in our community. You know, and then, like, if we're going to keep going on about the world, I would like people to stop drinking and driving. I would like there to be more acceptance in communities and less division, more love and caring for our neighbor and our flora and fauna in our environment. I mean, that's another thing I'm kind of crazy about, the environment. I just want it to be protected so we have a future. And again, trails lead all into that. Like, I'm not against cars. I know they're necessary to an extent, but it would be just fabulous if we could reduce our dependency on them. And I think there's all kinds of things you can think in the world today too. They say in the news, like, just the dependency on, you know, cars. And I know when you were here, there was flooding in Detroit, and on our news here, on our local news, it was saying, I was kind of locking people up. They couldn't go anywhere. So they're working on infrastructure, like non-motorized and hiking paths, but not enough for people where they couldn't go to work because they have to drive. And it's like, let's make things so we don't have to drive, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. And then less driving helps our environment, you know, and it helps us have more green spaces and more tunnels of trees.
I love your tunnels of trees. They're so good. Oh my Lord. I mean, and that's the thing, like, we've been speaking of the environment, like, we watched David Attenborough recently did a documentary again. He said gift. His voice is mesmerizing, about, like, all the different tipping points of the planet and, like, what can we do to reduce the harm and, like, hopefully not reach the tipping point. How close are we to the tipping points and stuff like that. And it just, if I had a magic wand, I wish that, because it is so simple, but it's not easy to fix, right? Like, it is cut and dry, so simple, but there's, with everything, there's so many layers of nuance and so many layers of red tape and so many behavioral changes that we would have to do, like, not even in our own communities, but, like, as a human species, we'd have to just make radical changes to the way that we live our lives. And I think particularly in America, we are rugged individuals, and we're like, you know, it's my way or the highway, and I'll eat what I want, I'll drive what I want, it's my right, my freedom, so da, da. And for everything that we purport to talk about freedom and stuff like that, I'm like, saving the planet is the ultimate freedom. Like, if we can reverse the damage that we've done, or at least halt the damage that we're doing, we could really, really, like, being free from these horrendous wildfires, being free from the impacts of climate change, being free from the reliance on fossil fuels and driving and everything else, like, that would be my magic wand, I think. And I don't ever answer this question, but that would, if I had a magic wand, that would be my magic wand today. Are there any other, like, questions or topics or stories or anything that I haven't asked you that you'd love to share with our crew here?
Well, you know, just that, you know, you did say, you said I founded Go Live Co. I didn't found it.
well, you did the team.
I did a team. But those people were a great group of people that I did run across after what had happened to my son. One of the ladies in there in the group, her husband, Dan, was killed by, being hit by a car. In one of our parks, unfortunately. And I don't know exactly how I found these people, but we found each other, and they're just a great group of people, and they're on our and for Livingston County, give them some kudos. We are we're on their a subcommittee of the Transportation Coalition, so we're having a voice on the non-motorized transportation. So it's called multimodal transportation. So hopefully that can take hold, and my magic wand will work.
But and so for those things. Yeah, well, and for people that might, it's sad that it takes tragedy to make change, but that tends to be one of the quickest ways to get things done, is in the aftermath of something like what happened to your son or what happened to her husband. For folks that aren't familiar with the inner workings of how things get done in their community, like, where's a good place for people to start doing research? I know not everybody listening is living specifically in Livingston County in Michigan, like, what were the steps that you took to start to advocate for these trails and for non-motorized transportation?
Well, you start with your local government. So everybody lives in a city or a township or a parish, I think, if you're in Louisiana. And you, those officials, you can go to those meetings. You can check on your city website, or they'll say, oh, we have our township meetings on the third Thursday of every month or whatever that they choose. So you can go there and you can ask those officials, hey, what are we doing? This is something I'm concerned about. I want to have trails. I want to have safe spaces to exercise or to, you know, go to the grocery store. And then you can also take it to a county level as well. You can, you know, you can write to your county officials and go to their meetings. And then there's road commissions. I know here in Livingston County, there's Livingston Route Road Commission. I'm going to go to some of their meetings. I haven't had time yet, but that is on my to-do list, is to go there. I've written them a couple times, and I happen to be on my township planning commission, so they know my feelings. So I advocate there. So yeah, I say get your local officials, and then write your state congressmen and women. I've done that as well, to say that this is something I want to do. And Pete Buttigieg for the federal government, write him. He's done some great work in, I think it was Indiana. Isn't that where he's
nice.
From?
Nice. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we always like to close out our events in person or online with what we call your group gratitude circle, where we just kind of go around and share what we're grateful for. So I'd love to hear what you're grateful for today.
I am grateful for meeting you and Barry, and hoping that I'm very serious. Like, if you want me to, you want to talk about hiking, any kind of campaigns that you want to do, I'm there. And then maybe we can meet up sometime up north. I'm sincerely, that's what I'm grateful for. To meet
Thank
all these
you.
Great people.
So. Well, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but we're working on some pretty special stuff that we're proposing for that trail in particular, for Lake to Lake Trail number one, to do some cool programs along the trail next summer. So, well, you can't get rid of us just yet.
Good. So, yeah. It helps bring community awareness for your cause and for diabetes, which is the thing I'm sure affects all kinds of my neighbors. Actually, one of the neighbors I told you that helps with my son, they have diabetes. So it's everywhere. And yeah. It's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, I was thinking about the program that we did, that we created for Take a Hike Diabetes specifically, the 30-day program. And I was like, really everybody could use this information, like how to nourish your body in mindful, healthy ways, how to reduce stress, how to use hiking as a meditation practice. Like, these are things that are especially beneficial for people living with diabetes or working to prevent it, but really everybody can benefit. And I think that's one of the things, like, I think one of the reasons I like you, Tammy, and I think you'll appreciate this, is like, our secret mission behind everything we do is like, if we can give people the experience of healing in the outdoors, then they cherish that land and they cherish that park or that trail or wherever it happened. And they want to protect it and they want to share that experience with other people. So like our secret mission, like the back door thing that we're working on all the time, is like, just trying to get people to care and advocate for these trails. So it's been absolutely lovely chatting with you and hearing about all the reasons why these trails are so great in Michigan. And I will definitely take you up on that offer to go to the UP. Awesome. And we will just go like stomp around a forest and see some waterfalls.
Awesome. Good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week and a great weekend.
You too. You take care.
All right. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us around the virtual campfire. Sometimes we talk about heavy topics. Sometimes we tell poop stories. But regardless of what we've discussed, we always like to end the show on a high note. At the end of our live broadcasts, we invite our community to share what they're grateful for in a segment called the Group Gratitude Circle. Every week, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to connect with us and witness these stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. If you'd like to gather with us around the campfire live each week, join the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire VIPs. If this were a legit talk show, you'd be sitting in our studio audience. We haven't been picked up by a major network yet, so for now, we gather on Zoom. Here, you can connect with the community before and after the broadcast, hang out for soundcheck when we have musical guests, participate in the Q&A, join in on the group gratitude circle, and be eligible to receive prizes and gifts from our sponsors, partners, and guests. Learn more and join us at hikingmyfeelings.org/campfire. Don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else who could use a dose of community and connection. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Hiking My Feelings, and you can tag your journey with #HikingMyFeelings. And if you're picking up what we're putting down and you want to be part of this movement, join the Hiking My Feelings family at family.hikingmyfeelings.org. In case nobody told you lately, you are a brilliant human who is destined to do epic things in this world. Join us next week for more stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. Until then, happy trails!